of Nero's, Caesar's household. That's interesting. How did Nero's household want to greet the believers in Philippi? Because he's been chained to the Roman guards that are part of that household, part of Rome. And the gospel is being spread in areas where you would never think it could be spread, all because God chose to take him there as a prisoner. Now, Paul always wanted to go to Rome. He wanted to go to Spain. But he didn't necessarily want to go there as a prisoner. But as a prisoner, he's noticing that the purpose of his life is being accomplished. And for this, he rejoices. The gospel's being spread. And not only is the gospel being spread, he goes on in these verses here, and he says, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and all the rest that my chains are in Christ, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. We're living in the midst of persecution, and it would be real easy to take my faith and hide it. But because of the way God led me here, because of what God is doing in my life, other believers are far more bold to share their purpose in life. And for this I rejoice. Here's the problem. If your purpose in life is the American dream, you grow up, you go to college, you get educated, you have a family, you get a wonderful paying job, you work for however many years, then you retire and you move to somewhere sunny, and that's your American dream. Guess what? You're going to be disappointed at the end, because all of that will go away. Listen to the philosophers. It's all in vain. But if your purpose is to bring others to the kingdom of God, you have an eternal purpose that will never be taken away, and you know why you're here. The American dream is a fantasy that even when you achieve it, you're not going to be satisfied. Paul says, my American dream I didn't reach. I don't have a home. I don't have a family. I don't have a retirement fund. I don't have any way of income. I have to rely on the other believers to meet my needs. None of the things that we want in America, he has. And yet he's rejoicing, because he has the purpose that is different than usually ours. I didn't say this was an easy way. If you really want to live like Paul, you have to be willing to give up your life. There was a group of Pharisees that wanted to trick Jesus, and so they came to him, and they thought they would trick him with, should we pay taxes? Because if he said yes, then he's siding with the Romans, and the Jews wouldn't have anything to do with him. If he says no, they could accuse him of breaking the law, and they could get rid of him that way. And so they thought they had him in between a rock and a hard place, so they come to him, and they say, should we pay taxes? And you know what he did? He said, does anybody here have a coin? And he took the coin, and he held it in his hand. He says, whose image is on this coin? And the Pharisee said, Caesar's. And then he said, well, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. And the Bible says that he went away. The Pharisee went away. He should have asked one more question. What's God's? You know what the answer is? What bears his image? Do you know the answer to that one? Render to God the things that are God's. You want purpose in life? You don't own it. You're God's. And if you want to live as the Apostle Paul lived, then you will say, for me to live is to surrender my life and to live the life that Christ desires for me to live. For me to live is Christ. Apart from that, we're not living. Apart from that, everything you do is vanity. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon tried every one of those things. And in the end, he said it was nothing. It didn't accomplish anything. For me to live is to say, I bear the image of Christ. And guess what? Every person you share the gospel with, and they come to know Christ, you know what you've just done? You've rendered to God the things that are God's. That's your objective. That's what Paul was saying. That's what Jesus was teaching. We need to give Christ what he deserves. C.S. Lewis said it this way, the glory of God, some will say, well, the purpose in life is to glorify God. Well, what's that? The glory of God, as our only means of glorifying him, the salvation of human souls, is the real business of life. He's saying, yes, our purpose is to glorify God, but you do that by seeking those that are lost and sharing Christ with them. For that, Paul could rejoice, even in the midst of prison. Living for Christ involves different methods, but the same purpose. Notice what he says in this kind of a interesting situation here in verses 15 through 18. He says, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. Their motive might be a little different there. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add to the affliction of my chains. I think some were probably going around and saying, as Christians sometimes do, you know, why is Paul in prison? God must not be happy with him. He must have done something. God obviously is putting him on a shelf. You know, that's why he's treating me the way he treats me. That's why I can share Christ. And I don't know what Paul was doing, and bless his heart, but I'm doing it the right way. And Paul could look at that and say, you have no idea what you're talking about. But notice his response. He says, some indeed preach Christ, verse 15, even from envy and strife, and some others from goodwill. But the former preach Christ from selfish ambition and not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chariot. But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that, in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, I will rejoice. Yeah, isn't it interesting in Christendom how many times we criticize other Christians for the way they're doing the purpose that God called them to do? And Paul says, I don't really care. As long as Christ is preached, go do it. That's his attitude. This is a team effort. We have the same purpose. We may do it differently, but if Christ is preached, amen, we're happy for it. Many parts doing their jobs, one goal, to preach Christ. Living for Christ is dependent upon prayer. Notice that if anybody didn't need prayer, you would think it would be Paul, wouldn't it? The Apostle Paul, you know, I have a need, so I better ask somebody to pray for me. Or would you say, oh, I'm the Apostle Paul. If I pray, it's going to happen, you know? But he does, look at his attitude here. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. When you pray for me, I know that the Spirit of God is going to help, and he's going to bring God's will, God's deliverance in my life. And in this, I'm happy. I'm content. To live for Christ means I can't do it, therefore I need your help. When's the last time you called in a prayer request to the prayer chain? I had to think about that this week. If I'm depending on the Spirit of Christ, how much should I be doing that? Some of you in your small groups, when's the last time you asked your small group to pray for you about something in your life? Living for Christ is not easy. We need God's help. This goal, this mission that we're called on requires prayer. Do you believe in prayer? Do you believe it will move mountains? Then we need to make ourselves available to that. We need to be doing it, relying on it in our lives. And then lastly, there is no lone rangers in accomplishing God's will. We need one another in doing that. Living for Christ is living with hope. I love the way this ends. Starting at verse 22, he says, and notice everything he's saying here hasn't happened. He's just telling you how what he believes will happen. So tell me, does he have hope or is he discouraged? This is what he says. But if I live on in the flesh, talking about life and death, so if Nero doesn't kill me, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard-pressed between the two, having the desire to part and be with Christ, which is far better. It doesn't really matter which way it goes, but if he does allow me to stay, I know there's going to be benefits from that. I know there's going to be fruit from that. Verse 24, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for all your progress and joy of faith. that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Look at the hope he has. I'm in prison with Nero as the judge, and I have confidence that God's going to allow me, because of you, to remain. But even if not, to die is gain. This is living. This is the way God wants us to live in our lives. I want to close with a question for you, and it's the question of the passage. How do you fill in this blank? For me to live is family, succeeding in my job, which means income, getting to a point where I can retire, health, no persecution. You say, Pastor, I'm a Christian. Of course, for me to live is Christ, plus all those things. Is that okay? Well, let me ask you, if it's Christ plus, and you fill in the blank, whatever it might be, then can you say, for me to die is gain? If my life is Christ plus family, then when I die, guess what I lose? Family. If for me, health is the thing, if Christ plus health, then when I die, evidently I didn't have health, I lost that. If for me, Christ is Christ plus success or money or materialism or whatever you want to throw in there, then for me to die is Christ plus death nothing. For me to die would not be gain. What Paul is saying is, if I say for me to die is gain, I am not adding anything to the first part. Christ alone is my sufficiency. That's an interesting question then, isn't it? What do we live for? What is the meaning of life for you? I hope you can say with the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you again for the reminders in your word from the book of Philippians of what it means to live. And I just pray that you would help us in our lives. We know that we're in progress, that we don't live for Christ all the time. But Lord, I pray that would be our goal, that we would set this as our aim that we strive for. And Paul said he hadn't attained, and so I know we haven't all attained, but Lord, make it our goal, make it our purpose, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.